What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Anxiety Now. I'm your host, Jordan Raybould. This is the podcast with no hosts, no co-hosts, no guests, just me and you. There's nobody else here. There's absolutely nobody. Nobody else here. I just got back from, I was back in North Carolina, doing a family thing. My sister was on Survivor. I don't know if everyone has seen that yet, but it's pretty crazy. She actually was on the show Survivor. That is crazy. I don't think I fully have grasped how insane that is, that she was on one of the most popular shows ever, easily the most successful reality show. I can't think of a more successful reality show than Survivor. It's certainly the best reality show. It's the only reality show you should go on. I think all the other reality shows, you end up looking like trash. Real Housewives. My friend Nick Whitmer has a great joke about Real Housewives where he goes, to be called a housewife, don't you have to clean a dish sometime? They're not housewives. They're just house sluts. It's a great joke, man. Because those women on that show are trash. But Survivor's great. It's really great. And it was really fun to go to North Carolina and check that out with my... watch the premiere with my family and watch it with her and how enthusiastic she is. And nervous because she's not even... you know, you're never sure how you're going to appear on those sorts of shows. You're not sure what are they going to pull, what are they going to play. It's been funny seeing their portrayal of her as this super, just frankly, like super rich. It's like not true. they've portrayed her as a millionaire. She's not a millionaire. She's not even close to a millionaire. She's got a one-bedroom apartment in North Carolina. And she's 200K in student loan debt. And not a millionaire. I don't know where they got the idea my sister was a millionaire, or even my family is. But it's so funny to me that that is how they see her. As this millionaire, because it's just so inaccurate. It was pretty funny though that they to see see someone you know that closely on TV and also in that kind of setting. I was really proud of her for being on the show, but it's pretty hilarious. Pretty hilarious when they like asked her, they kind of like Jeff Probst. I can't remember the exact question, but he asked something to the effect, like hinting, because so if you don't know, the theme is David versus Goliaths, and my sister is considered a Goliath, which is such a frustrating theme, because in the story of David versus Goliath, Goliath gets hammered by David, and also David was this like underdog, but David wasn't an underdog at all. The dude had been training for years, throwing stones with a slingshot at wolves and bears to defend his flock of sheep. He was training all the time for this. Goliath was just some big-ass dude with a hulking frame. It's not really fair to do for, like, the... and then on top... okay, so what's really frustrating is, like, the perception is that Goliaths have so much privilege and power and opportunity that David's didn't. But, you know, nobody roots for Goliath. That's my point. And when you put on the Goliath tribe, it sets you up to be the villain of a season a little bit. Because who would ever want Goliath? I really, you know what? If we could redo the story of David versus Goliath, I wish David had slung a rock, it hit Goliath in the head, bounced off, and then Goliath went and crushed David. That's what I wish had happened in that story. And I only say that so that my sister looks good on it. But yeah, I was in there. I'd fly. So much flying. I'm so tired of flying. It's so exhausting. Flying everywhere all the time. I don't know what my problem is, but every time I buy a flight to go anywhere, when I'm getting it, I'm like, oh yeah, of course I can leave at 7 a.m. Sure, 6 a.m. flight, I can do that. I don't know why I do that to myself every single time I go anywhere. every time I go anywhere, I set myself up to just be exhausted for 2 days. And you're a lot of you have day jobs and you're like, that's not that early. Listen, I'm up till 2 a.m. slinging jokes in these streets, okay? I'm not going to bed when you're going to bed. I'm going to bed 4 or 5 hours after you go to bed, okay? And I get up 4 or 5 hours after you wake up. My point is, I like getting a healthy amount of sleep. I know 7 a.m. isn't that early for you, but that is very early for me. I stay up later, okay? I don't know why I do that. And the only difference in money is like $10. I let $10 be the difference between misery and mediocrity in my attitude. There's also another thing is that it was my birthday when I was there. And it's kind of fun to act like my sister commandeered my birthday for her Survivor show. And then she took it over. I kept trying to like fake guilt everyone because the whole day was just built around this premiere party that she was throwing for Survivor. And so I was like, I had to go to a mall, which if you haven't been to the mall lately, it is dead. Nobody goes to malls. Teenagers aren't even there trying to get hand jobs anymore. Yeah, that's how sad malls are. There were no teenagers there. I went to a Hot Topic and was the only one in there. So it was like I was just shopping at Hot Topic. It wasn't enjoyable. What a weird store Hot Topic is, too. They sell all these, like, band emo shirts for bands that were popular 15 years ago. Like, everything's Hawthorne Heights. I think that's a band. I think that is a band they were selling stuff for. And then on my birthday, I had to, I paid for my own lunch and ate it. Well, I like to tell my mom that I ate it alone. And the only person who smiled at me was the Vietnamese lady who served me pho. That's what I got at the mall. And just to guilt trip my mom, that's why I invented that story. You're getting older, just blow. It's so, like, you can't, you know what else is funny? Like, you can't even act like you care about your birthday the older you get. You have to just act like it's a day. But you do, the older you get, you kind of do want it to, a part of you still wants it to matter. But it doesn't, and nobody else cares either. Nobody else cares that it's your birthday. And especially if you're a man and you act like your birthday matters, everyone thinks you're weird. You're not allowed, as Amanda said, you're not allowed to act like you care about your birthday. You have to just have it be a day of the week. You happen to have been born on that day 30 or so years ago. And carry on business as usual. What, you want me to celebrate your day? So jealous that I think women get to have fantastic birthdays every birthday of their life. And then they always freeze the age that they're at. Women always freeze whatever age they think they were the hottest and happiest, they just freeze it at that one. They'd be like, I'm 27. It's like, nah, you're the worst looking 27-year-old, then. You look like shit for a 27-year-old. You might not want to be telling people that. You might want to tell people you're 45. That way you look okay. But that's, you know, the bit that women like to do as they get older, is act like they're not as old as they are, because we're all rotting flesh. And, yeah. But what... Yeah, what a nothing birthday that was, though. Nothing birthday. I didn't even get to, you know, celebrate it with my girlfriend. I'm sure she feels guilty about it. I know she feels guilty or wishes we could have spent it together, which is very, very sweet of her. It is very sweet of her. I always hear this from guys. They always say that girlfriends make them better. And it's really sad if that's actually true for men. If, like, us having a significant other makes us better. I don't think it's anything intrinsic with women that makes them better. I think what it is that you have another person who is observing your day-to-day habits regularly and is providing a sort of reflective mirror back at you. So you get to see the approval and disapproval of your lifestyle choices mirrored back to you. That's what I think the secret to girlfriends mostly is. A lot of comedians do that sort of bit, like, my girlfriend's better than I am, or girlfriends make me better. It's always the grossest comedians who do that joke, too. Like, I know this one comedian does a bit about that. Dude's like 300 pounds. It's like, yo, if your girlfriend makes you better, she's not making you that much better, buddy. She's not. You're still an alcoholic, and you're still 100 plus pounds overweight. She's not doing her work here. If girlfriends do make you better. Which I don't know. I mean, I don't think they do. I think it's just you have a person who disapproves of your lifestyle. And you got to be like, oh, shit, it's horrible. You're right. I should probably stop eating only grilled cheese. It's kind of horrible for a grown man. Now, since I don't think that girlfriends make anyone better, I am remaining the exact same as I was before. My room, still disgusting. Still disgusting. I'll do laundry when I need it. I'm not going to do laundry when I should do it. I do it when it's dire. I don't care if my girlfriend thinks that is disgusting. That is who I am. I will go to the depths of my underwear pile. I'll get to the very bottom. And then, and only then, will I do my laundry. You will not make me better. I will not improve. I don't need self-improvement. I like who I am. You don't make me better. I do what I want to do. Nobody makes Jordan better. Nobody. We had some, like, we're in New Haven, and this past weekend for shows, and when we're in New Haven, these two evangelists came up to us. We didn't know they were evangelists. You know, here's the thing. If you're a man and you walk around, nobody talks to you at all unless they're trying to get a thing from you. There's no men just making friends with men they don't know. They don't. You walk around a place. I think that's a very, and I'm not, the, if this, it's not a complaint. It's just a reality, and it's, I think it's a pretty nice thing, actually, that you go, you know, it's a positive and a negative thing, but your whole life is unencumbered by others. Granted, that means if you got hit by a bus, nobody would really care. They just kind of shove your corpse off to the side and carry on with their day. But by and large, you know, you just get to walk around. Nobody says anything. Nobody tries to get anything from you. Nobody's catcalling you. Nobody's commenting on your clothing or your bodies or anything. Now, anytime any men you don't know talk to you, you're always like, what's this guy fucking want from me right now? What's he trying to get from me? That's what runs through your head is, what's your angle? What are you trying to sell me? Are you trying to sell me a timeshare? I don't want a timeshare, okay? There's not even free brunch. We're on the street right now. Why are you talking to me? So I'm hanging out with my comedian friend, Greg. And middle of the day, we're in New Haven. We're about to go drive to our next show in Rhode Island, waiting on our friend David Spector, a Jewish comedian, if you couldn't tell from his name. David wasn't there yet. We had told him, hey, we're at the car now. Come meet us. And then we're going to drive to Rhode Island. Hurry over here. Whatever stuff you're doing. All right, bro? So David was on his way over there. Greg and I were just sitting there talking, having a good time. And then all of a sudden these two guys walk up to us. One of them has like head shaved and like a big beard. And the other one just kind of looked like he used to be into like an ICP style band, but you know, had removed the makeup from his face. I think it was a white guy with dreads. Like not good dreads. If there is such a thing for a white guy to have, but you know, shorter dreads, it was gross. Gross. You never see a white guy with dreads and you go, that looks good on him. No. Every time you see a white guy with dreads, you're like, he should probably shower. And maybe cultural appropriation is a good point. So these guys go, hey man, can I ask you a question? And you're like, I guess we're sitting here now. I don't really have much choice. Sounds like, what am I going to do, run away? And I go, yeah, man, what's up? And the guy goes, if you died today, would you go to heaven? What? What are you asking? Why are you asking me this right now? At 2 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon. It's a nice day. Don't you think that these sort of deep existential questions need a little bit of small talk? A little more small talk than that? Don't you think so? You can't just ask that as a second question out of your mouth. Greg answers first and he goes, I guess, I don't know. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know, sure. Dude, I'm not going to seriously engage that sort of bullshit. And he goes, okay, well, you should know have you heard about Jesus Christ? Now he'll help you get to heaven. And you're like, Jesus, fuck, man. I'm a guy in America. You think I haven't heard of Jesus? There's not a person in America at this point that doesn't know about Jesus. Why are you still trying to sell me on Jesus? They'd be like, if someone was walking around handing out like Coca-Colas, you're like, yeah, we know about Coca-Cola. Why are you trying to sell us on this Coca-Cola thing even more? We all already know about Jesus. I don't want to hear more about Jesus. And the guy goes, well, let me ask you another question. Do you like yourself? And I think he thought that because he didn't like who he was, perhaps at one point in time, that I too would provide a similar answer and say, I don't like myself. But I was like, you know what? I do like myself. I'm not going to change for anybody. Not even my girlfriend. I must stay the same forever. Told him, you know what? I do like myself. I don't think I need to change a lot of things. Certainly going to church on Sunday will not be a thing I will change. I will not go. I will not go for the rest of my life. I will not go to church on Sundays. I enjoy my Sundays. I like having them for me. I don't want to go sit in a room on my Sundays. I told him that. In all seriousness, what I did tell him is, you know, I mostly like the person I am, and I don't think I need to do any drastic changes right now. Then David walks up, and he doesn't know that we're talking to two evangelists, Christian evangelists, and so David is Jewish, and this guy goes, hey, David, if you died, would you go to heaven? And David goes, what? And the guy goes, if you died, would you go to heaven? He's like, I think I'm a good person. And then the guy goes, oh, have you heard about Jesus? And then David goes, yeah, I've heard about Jesus. And the guy goes, would it be okay if we all like prayed together? And David goes, I'm not doing this. And then just immediately stormed off. And I became jealous in that moment because that is what I should have done. I was disappointed that I didn't take that step and just say, yo, man, you guys, could you leave us alone? I don't want to talk to you. Because I don't want to talk to you. I don't. You're trying to sell me on a thing right now, and I don't want to buy. I don't want to buy, and it's infuriating when people try to sell you their bullshit when you didn't ask for it, isn't it? Let me opt in a little bit. I don't want to hear about Jesus. I don't. I don't. I already did enough Jesus study over the course of my life to know where I stand on the issue, to decide it's not for me. It's not for me to do Jesus stuff, okay? I've read 4 books of the Bible. I'm Catholic, man. We don't read the Bible. Are you serious? Catholics don't read the Bible. We're not going to spend our time. We're just going to hate ourselves and not even know what we're worshiping. That's what Catholics do, okay? That's what Catholics do, is they carry around a lot of guilt. They go to church on Sundays, even though they hate it. They don't really believe anything they're being told, but they do it out of a sense of obligation to family and to not ruffle any feathers and annoy their parents. And Yeah, that's the Catholic faith in it. Oh, and also you celebrate all the major holidays, but you mostly celebrate them in sort of a materialistic way. There's no sort of religious aspect to it. Like Christmas, if you're Catholic, it's about gifts. It's also about hanging out with your family, but it's about gifts. Also, if you're Catholic, Easter, it's about chocolate. You put candy inside of plastic Easter eggs. You hide them around a yard. You run around. You grab them, find them, and you eat the contents. That's what it's about. That's what being Catholic is about. And this guy, he started praying, and then he started getting like, I can't remember what he said, but he started getting like aggressive in his prayers, and like to the point where we got halfway through the prayer, and I go, hey man, you need, you know what, I actually don't want to be prayed upon, prayed for right now, could you leave us alone? I was glad I got the courage that David had to just get up and walk away immediately, because that's what you should do. When people are wasting your time with stuff you're not interested in, you should get up and leave immediately. You would never sit through that on like a show. You would never sit through that. You never would. But for some reason, like when people do it, we all let them just keep talking to us and wasting our time like that. It's infuriating. And then the other guy started distracting us. So we said, no, we're good. And told them, and we're like, hey man, we just want to hang out and be alone. And then the other guy jumped in and be like, hey, you know what? Before I found Jesus, I almost wanted to kill myself. Like I was on the thrones. Like, I tried to kill myself so many times, and I wanted to kill myself. I wanted to kill myself so much that I wanted to kill myself. And then thank God for Jesus, because he kept me from killing myself. It's like, how many times are you going to tell us you were suicidal? I'm not suicidal. I'm sorry you were. I'm glad that you found someone who could keep you from killing yourself, because that's really sad, and you shouldn't do that. But, you know, leave me alone. Hey, maybe you should have. Have you thought of that? Because then you wouldn't be wasting my time right now. That is not what I said. But boy, do I wish I had. And then while he was doing his like kill myself routine, the other guy then started praying over us. Which when people are forcing prayer on you, it's weird and invasive. The whole thing was super invasive, and I wish I had the courage that David did to just get up and leave. That's what I should have done. That's what I should have done. But it's let him, you know, waste my time in my life. And then Dave and I were talking about it later. And he was saying that he goes, hey, you know, you had an experience. And every experience is worth having. To which I reply, no, not every experience is worth having. And he goes, yeah, what the fuck am I talking about? I'm just saying things. That's not true at all. Every experience is not worth having. That certainly was one of them. That was one that was definitely not worth having. It really wasn't. Have someone pray over you? It's terrible. Just terrible. My friend and I were talking about what I think, especially now, I think women think that men talk about when they're not around, that we talk about, you know, them sexually in more detail than we do. Like, man, we don't really talk in graphic detail. That's the truth. When men get together, like, the most information a dude will ever give one of his male friends that he did with a girl, maybe he'll say a position, maybe. But there's only, like, three positions, so what an uninteresting thing to say. You know, you cycle through all three of them pretty quickly. You get through all the positions very quickly, you know, especially for me and you're done in 2.5. Dude, I get this thing done in 2.5. You know what I mean? We got to get back to doing stuff. Let's nut and get out of here. But I think that there's like this perception that men are very gross when they're left alone or together. When men are all that we will come and they don't talk like that at all. Like the most your friend will ever say that he did with a girl is a position, or he'll say, I hooked up with her, and it'll be in this abstract. And then even when it says, I hooked up with her, you'll be like, well, did you have sex? And I'll be like, yes or no. And that's the end of it. Because what's there even to describe? There's nothing to describe after that. Yeah, she had some big tits and a vagina. Like that does nothing for me hearing that. that must be one thing I know that I know for a fact that women do is they say what the guy's penis was like. There's more detail there, an air of mystery. That's the thing. There's no mystery for us to describe. So I don't think men really do talk about, we won't talk about anything gross or over the top ever. It's all so boring. It's so boring. What are we going to describe? There's nothing to describe. There really is nothing interesting to describe sexually. Plus, here's another thing. What if, and I think this is embarrassing, what if we end up dating this girl and we just describe all these things that we did for our friend's amusement, and then now we're sincerely dating this girl, and now our friends know the details of our sex life? I don't want that. She doesn't want that. It doesn't concern my friends. I know I've had some friends show me before they start dating a girl, like a nude picture that the girl sent to them. Probably not the coolest thing to do, but they've done it. I've never done that. I've never shared a nude pic I've gotten with of a girl I'm interested in with one of my friends. You could just be sharing a nude picture of your future girlfriend then. Such a bad idea. Such a bad idea. Do people even care if... I think like 5 years ago, people were like, don't send nudes. You don't know where it's going to end up. And now you can just assume that it's public knowledge. Like, I think there's like a Library of Congress where they keep all of the nudes that have ever been sent, and that's where they've all been collected. In this Library of Congress of nude pictures, and you can just pull up anyone, and nobody cares at all. Like when those celebrities' nudes all leaked, there were tons of dudes' nudes were included in that, but nobody went and looked at those. Nobody cared. All anyone wanted to see was the women's nudes that got leaked, and what was that called? Oh, man. Can't even remember what that was. Can't remember what that was. But if a nude, like, hypothetically, would you still, I would still vote for president even if he had sent a bunch of nude pictures. Like, Anthony Weiner, the only thing I don't like about him, don't know his politics that well, frankly, but when he comes, let's just talk about the nude picture thing, is that he was doing it to underage women. And I guess it's not cool to cheat on your wife. I guess it's not cool. It's definitely not cool to cheat on your wife. I don't cheat on my significant others. When I date someone, I don't cheat on them. But, you know, that to me doesn't preclude you from office. That doesn't mean you can't be a great senator or a great congresswoman or congressman. It doesn't. I don't care what about people's sexual proclivities when it comes to running for positions or whether or not they're qualified for a thing. What they want to do is what they want to do. If a guy wants to jerk off into a toaster, I'm fine with that. As long as it's not illegal, you know, as long as it's legal and with consenting individuals, I don't care. I don't care. We've probably lost so many potentially good politicians because they cheated on their wife, and for some reason we're like, we would all act like nobody does that stuff. People cheat across the board all the time. All the time. Is it cool to do? No. Do I live my life that way? No. But I don't care. You know, if Bill Clinton got his dick sucked in the Oval Office. Here's my theory. I'm actually for it. I actually want my president to have empty balls. Because if he's got empty balls, he can relax. He's got a clear mind. He can be focused. He's focused on the issues at hand. He's focused on advancing American interests. Right? I know women feel this way, but have you've ever been so horny that everything's cloudy? And you can't do anything till you get the demon seed out. I I know you've been that way. All of us have been at work. All of us have been at work and had to go to the bathroom and jerk off so that we could get back to work. Everyone's done it. You've done it. Don't judge me right now. You do. You're doing it right now. Everyone has done that. So I think, you know, the issue with Bill Clinton there is that he lied and that, yes, he did abuse his position of power. Not cool. But also, you know, what was he going to do? Go have sex with Hill Dog? No, thank you. No, thank you. She's too busy campaigning for her own presidency to have sex with Bill. So, yeah. He had to have sex with other people. Now, I think there's also like a sexual assault rape trail. I'm not touching that with Bill Clinton. All I'm saying is that I'm all for presidents. I'm all for presidents. Not even just presidents. Any politician doing whatever they want, banging and doing whatever they want. I'm all for it. Any position, really. Stupid. I think you can hear these dogs. God dang it. I don't know if you know this, but I shoot this in a really official podcast studio. By that, I mean my bedroom with a backyard, and I have two dogs barking at me right now. I apologize if you hear them. I'm like in the ultimate podcast outfit. I'm literally in nothing but my underwear right now. This is the most unemployed outfit you could get. And I paused this podcast because my girlfriend actually FaceTimed me in the middle of it, and tell you what, she was none too plussed with this outfit. She thought it was ridiculous that this is how I live my life. And you know what? I'm going to keep living it this way. I ain't changing for nobody. I already told you that. This is who I am. This is what I do. Accept it. Accept it and love it. I don't know if I'm going to watch that new show that Quincy, there's like a documentary about Quincy Jones, the famous music producer. I don't know if I'm going to watch it. I remember reading the interview he gave 6-7 months ago in which he blasted the Beatles. And he said, like, the Beatles weren't talented at their instruments. They weren't actually, like, great guitarists or great drummers or anything. I think everyone knows George Best is notoriously not great at the drums. Doesn't matter. Ringo Starr, that's what I'm thinking. But yeah, everyone, he was saying that there's like session musicians that are better than them at their respective instruments. And this was like big news and everyone acted like it was shocking. And they were like, and I think right now there's a backlash a little bit against the Beatles where people want to act like their music isn't incredible and they aren't the best musicians of modern music, which they undoubtedly are. They're better than everyone. They really are. And here's what I say to you, Quincy Jones. I don't care if they're not good session musicians. They wrote all that music. I could go to a guitar center right now and I could find a guy who can shred. Absolutely shred. But he can't write music. He can't write anything that makes you feel. He can't write Here Comes the Sun. Have you ever gone into the actual catalog of Beatles music to know how amazing those guys were? Who gives a fuck if they're not good enough to be session musicians? They weren't. They were composers. Do you think the guy who... What's the conductor? Does he have to know how to play every musician to be a great conductor? No. No. You don't need to be. I think that's the point. Isn't that even more impressive that they were able to arrange and create that amazing music and that creative sound? And I guess, according to him, they were trash at instruments. That's amazing. Who cares? That's what people forget is that being technically, there's like, related to sports, which is what I grew up with. There's like, if you're to be good at a sport, there's like three areas you can be good at. You can be good technically at it, And in terms of soccer, that's how good you are with the ball. Can you juggle? Are you smooth when you dribble the ball? Can you cut? How's your shooting? How is the actual passing? And by that, I mean, what's your actual technique when you pass? What's your technique when you hit long balls? That's technical. Then there is tactical. And tactical is like, where do you position yourself? How do you see the field when you're playing? How do you move off of the ball? When you're playing against an opponent, what sort of strategy do you employ? And then the third is mental. And mental is, are you a winner? Are you a winner? Are you able to get the thing done in pressure situations? Do you rise to the occasion or do you crumble? Are you a winner? And it sure helps with your mental if your technique is fantastic and your tactics are great. But without the mental, nothing matters. Nothing else matters. It doesn't matter. And so does it matter if the Beatles perhaps had some technical musical deficiencies? No, it doesn't. Because their tactical and their mental game was on point, to put this analogy. Let's be honest. Do any of us really enjoy guitar solos? Do we enjoy guitar solos? Do we enjoy drum solos? Do any of us even enjoy things like jazz music? No. None of us do. We don't like jazz music. There's a reason no jazz music is on the radio. Because it fucking sucks. But jazz is one of the most technically demanding forms of music. But boy, is it unpleasant to listen to. It's unpleasant. It's annoying. None of us want to hear it. Yeah. So it doesn't matter if the Beatles suck from a technical perspective. I'm glad you aired that out, Quincy Jones. And that's the thing a lot of people latched onto, because that makes their genius all the more impressive. Here, apparently, they couldn't do anything they wanted with their instruments. But they were able to. They were able to do anything they wanted. They couldn't do it technically, according to him. But they managed to create only hit songs? Only hit songs? You never really realize how good of a band they really were. They have like 60, 70 unbelievable songs that aren't... And then there's songs that are like good, but just not as great. No other band has written that much amazing music. So it's so bizarre to me, like, why he would do it. It must have had some personal thing with them. Or maybe for him it was like some amount of jealousy where he's like, they're not that good at their instruments, yet somehow, why are they the biggest band in the world? The biggest band ever. Nobody's been bigger than the Beatles. I know right now there's like a debate on, there's a rivalry between the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. And I understand that that's like a question now, is like, which one of those two bands will live on in history? And I guess my generation listens more to the Rolling Stones. That's what the numbers on like Spotify and other streaming sites point to. But yo, the Beatles are way better. Way, way better. They're absolutely better than every other musician. And I don't care. I was on a family trip, and my dad is a huge fan of Fleetwood Mac. So we went and to Mick Fleetwood's restaurant. It's called Fleetwood's in Hawaii. I don't know where, but we're in Hawaii. And he wanted to put on a concert. He was going to be the drummer, and he got a bunch of semi-famous musicians. I think they're famous amongst musicians for what they do. I don't know any of their names, but some of the, like, some really talented musicians around him. And before they played Fleetwood Mac songs, which are fantastic songs, he let those musicians all kind of have their fun, and he let them play whatever sort of music they wanted to play. And what they chose was just kind of, I'm sure it was all like, clearly it was like technically demanding music, but it was trash to listen to. It fucking sucked. It sounded like a bunch of 50-year-olds jam banding. It sucked. And it's because they were trying to play really complex songs. And I'm sure they had enjoyment with it. But for me as an audience member, those songs blow. Hearing the most complex thing isn't better. So if that's what Quincy Jones is trying to get at, you know, you're wrong. You're wrong. It must be infuriating, though, to see someone like... I know playing sports is like some people you play against, and they have only one or two tricks, but the issue is that those tricks work every time. Maybe that's how Quincy Jones felt a little bit, where he's like, they only have one or two tricks. Like, he can see that this guy's like a pitcher who only has a fastball. That's how he saw the Beatles. And for some reason, it worked every time. And he's like, how do you guys not see this coming? They're doing the same thing over and over again. But we are not an educated public. We're dumb. So we just eat that shit up. I don't know. I have no idea. It's the theory, you know? But it was supposed to be a hit on the Beatles, and it's a stupid hit. Who cares how technically advanced they are? That's not what good music is. And yes, good music is determined by the person who is listening to it. Just like good comedy, to a point, is determined by whether or not the people who hear it enjoy it. Now, there's more to it than that, like, you gotta be... Well, you know what? I actually think that an audience starts picking up on stupid comedy. Because if you do stupid comedy that has jokes that people have heard before, and then someone follows you and they do something interesting and unique and that really speaks to them, and they'll really connect. Honesty is what people want. And they will blow you out of the water every time. Even if you go up and you have like some hack ass jokes, you'll get killed by someone who's doing unique things. So, guys, I've done it. We've done it together. Thank you so much for listening. Please go write me a review if you feel inclined. Message me. Let me know what you want to talk about. Give me some comments. I would love that. And if you could, my brother and I, we put out another sketch on the Rabel Brothers channel. Sketches are doing great, man. I really appreciate those of you who follow through and go and check those sketches out. It really means a lot. I'll talk to y'all later. And I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening. Bye.